On behalf of Tim and Melissa, their family, Patrick and the other pastors here at Christ Church, the staff, and the community of people that worship here, a community that love the Wallines, I want to thank you for gathering this morning, for being here today to celebrate Berkeley's new life. Today is a celebration of new life. Not just a pretend celebration because we can't bear to look our grief in the face. A real celebration. Berkeley lives right now in the presence of the Father, so we will celebrate. We will celebrate Him. We will celebrate for Him. And we will celebrate the ways that He has impacted us. This morning, we're going to look at a story from the Bible, the story of Jesus and Lazarus, as a framework for all of us to navigate this very confusing and difficult experience. But before we do that, I want to share with you some observations that just I personally have made throughout these last 15 months. I was at the hospital the first day that Berkeley went in to find out what was going on back in October of 2013. I've met with Berkeley many times over the last 15 months. I visited him several times in hospice house, and I just want to point to a few ways that I have seen Jesus moving, even in the midst of this tragic circumstance. Melissa, I have watched you love and patiently nurture a teenage boy who did not always want to be patiently nurtured. You cared for your baby boy, waiting on him hand and foot, tending to his many needs. You smothered him when he needed smothering, and you gave him space when he needed space, just like a great mom does. Into this tragedy, Melissa, you brought the love. Tim, you were the backbone. You maintained optimism in the face of much adversity. I remember the first day that Berkeley was in hospice house, and you pulled me out into the hallway, and you said, you pointed to this day, the day that would have been Berkeley's birthday, and you said, "I don't know, Dean, I'm just holding out hope that by Berkeley's birthday, he'll be running around these halls, ready for his next treatment." You, Tim, would not give up. You were always on the hunt for a new treatment, a new path, providing stability for your family and so many others. And for that, Tim, I admire you greatly. You, Tim, brought the hope. Chastity, you were always the smile in the room. You laughed with Berkeley. You pulled a smile out of him when no one else could. Outside of his family, in Berkeley's heart, we were all a distant second with you in first place. You, Chas, brought the joy. Certainly, I could say a lot more about other members of Berkeley's family and so many of you that have been integrally involved, but I'm going to lump all the rest of us into one other category. Everyone, hundreds gathered here, hundreds that couldn't make it. Team Berkeley. I have watched you rally. You held this family and Berkeley himself up in prayer and in so many practical ways. You formed a faith army to pray for, feed, and ease the pain of the Wallines for the last 15 months. All of you brought the support. And Berkeley. Berkeley walked this unbelievable road. No doubt there were seasons, there were times of darkness for him. But when you step back and look at the last 15 months, you see a man with his head up and his eyes open, walking an incredibly difficult path. A road that Berkeley walked with Jesus. A road that ultimately led him right to God himself. Many of us have great Berkeley stories. Many of our stories are not funeral appropriate. One of my favorite things about Berkeley is that he always knew where the line was, you know? And he loved to sprint towards that line, stop at the edge, and lean over while we all held our breath. And then Berkeley would turn around and run back to us, having been messing with us the entire time. One of my favorite Berkeley stories happened on a father-son retreat out at the Horner's farm. Berkeley was 15 at the time, and it was nighttime, and I was gathered with the dads in the kitchen of the farmhouse. Has Melissa not heard this story? Sorry. So I was with the dads in the kitchen, and it was nighttime, and over Tim's shoulder, I saw a car racing down the dirt road full of teen boys. And I said, "Tim, do you know where your keys are?" And he said, "Yeah, I think Berkeley has them." About that. So it had been raining for 2 days on the farm, and Berkeley, that didn't stop Berkeley from attempting to make it across not one, but two muddy fields in his dad's car full of teenage boys. Of course, you know how this story ends. The car was buried up to the axles, and Berkeley and his buddies walking back up the hill to the house to meet us, soaked to the bone, just sheepishly giggling. Berkeley. Berkeley brought the fun. Berkeley brought the memories. He brought the laughs. He brought the joy. And he brought the love. Today is a day that none of us wanted to see. Many of us prayed, we cried, and we fought for this day never to come. But here we are. Berkeley has truly gone too soon. And this morning, I want to look at a story from the Bible from John 11, a story about another man gone too soon. Lazarus was a close friend of Jesus, and he had fallen ill and died. Not only that, but Jesus had known, the healer, had known about this illness and had delayed his trip to see Lazarus. Lazarus was now dead, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, in a whole village, much like today, are grieving the loss. I want this story this morning to inform how we can understand Berkeley's life and death. How can we respond to this loss? And what sense can we make of this loss? Let's start with how we can respond to this loss. I think we can learn a lot from Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha. What was their response to losing their beloved Lazarus too soon. Two things. First, the sisters had questions. They had questions. They had hard questions. Independent of each other, they went face to face with Jesus and put it to him directly. Jesus, if you had been here, Jesus, if you had shown up, this wouldn't have happened. As if to say, where were you, Jesus? We needed you. We were counting on you. We thought for sure you would come through for us, and you didn't. Jesus, what gives? How did Jesus react to their questions? Did he rebuke them? No, he welcomed their questions. He didn't scold them. He didn't offer them cheesy assurances. Jesus listened to them. He let them pour out their hearts and thoughts to him. Jesus engaged the loved ones of Lazarus. Many of us have these similar types of questions as it relates to Berkeley's death. Jesus, if you had only intervened. Jesus, we thought you might come through on this healing. Jesus, what gives? This morning, I want to encourage you, much like Mary and Martha, to take your questions to Jesus. Do not withdraw from him. Although the pain is great, take that pain to God. Don't put it on a shelf to deal with it later. Don't bury it down deep, hoping that it will go away. Take your questions to Jesus. So the sisters had questions, but they also had faith. Mary and Martha chose to believe that even in the midst of seemingly impossible circumstances, that God was still good and that he would somehow do something great. Martha said, "Even now I know, Jesus, that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Martha held tightly to her faith. She refused to let it go, even though she could not make any sense of it at the moment. Similarly, my word is to you, hold on to your faith. I know that this tragic loss of an 18-year-old friend may have shaken some of you to your core, but hold on to your faith. Take those questions, take those emotions to God. Trust him with your pain and confusion. Look, if you want to honor the Wallines, if you want to honor Berkeley in your grief, then what you will do is seek God as they are doing every day. An event this tragic can be defining in a person's life and faith. This could go either way for you. You could, in the light of this, withdraw from God and attempt to go it alone from here on out. Or you can draw near to Jesus. This event, Berkeley's death, could be for you a milestone that you will look back on for years to come and say, that is when I encountered God in a new way. Go to God. God will meet you. He will hear you. And in him, you will find love and inconceivable comfort. That's how we can react or respond in light of something like this. But I want to talk about how we can make sense of it. And for that, I want to look not at the sisters, but at Jesus himself. Jesus teaches us two crucial things about death in this passage. The first is this. A death like this one, a loss like this, the suffering is truly tragic. It is wrong. When it came to Lazarus, Jesus wept at the death of his friend. He mourned. Our God grieved the death of Lazarus. Jesus didn't then and doesn't now just pat us on the head and say, man, that must be hard. Jesus weeps with us. He doesn't float over our sufferings. He really enters into them. You don't have to put on a happy face. It's okay to grieve because you are in good company. Jesus himself is grieving with you. So Jesus was deeply moved. He was filled with sadness, but it tells us another thing. This passage tells us that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, this passage puts it, which is something quite different than sadness. What that phrase conveys is that Jesus was angry. Jesus was angry at the loss of his friend. What was he angry about? Jesus' anger, unlike many of ours, was rightly placed. The thing that Jesus was angry about was death itself. This is key. Death. The death of Lazarus, the death of Berkeley should not have been. Death is the enemy. And Jesus, furious, demands, not murmurs, where have you laid the body? Jesus marches to the tomb like a champion preparing for war. In this season for all of us, I would encourage you to place your anger in the right place. Follow Jesus' lead. Do not be angry at him. He, as we'll see in a second, was the giver of life. Be angry instead at death. It is right to believe that this should not have happened. This, Berkeley's death, is a tragedy. Jesus teaches us one last thing about death. He tells us that it's tragic, but he also tells us that death can be and has been defeated. Jesus, with tears in his eyes and anger in his voice, the one who had just told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died, who had been dead for 4 days, walked out of the tomb. Jesus wanted Lazarus' friends to know, and he wants us to know too, that he, Jesus, has power over death. The battle has been won. But Jesus didn't just stop with Lazarus. Jesus later went into a tomb himself and rose, defeating death once and for all. So death did not win this fight. Death has lost. Berkeley lives. No more tears. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death forever. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. And because Berkeley had faith in him, because he was united to him, Berks has that new life now. The kind of life that is sustaining Berkeley's family today. The kind of life that gives hope even in this world, come what may. The kind of life that God offers to each of us today. Amen.